What a lovely day to be on the east coast of Yorkshire here at RSPB Bens and Cliffs. I'm here to meet up with a very special friend and to enjoy a clifftop walk and hopefully see some of the seabirds. Hi Jeff.
Yeah, morning Debbie. How nice it is to see you at Bempton this morning on what's actually quite a nice day. Bempton holds a real passion to me as part of the early start of my career. I'm Jeff Edmund, I'm the National Wildlife Coordinator for the RSPCA. I've been inspector, I'm in my 29th year, it's been my lifetime, and having been born fairly locally, I started coming here very early on in my life, and probably the passion I have for Bempton as part of my career path that's ended up in me being an RSPCA inspector, which has been quite a big chapter in my life. But I think what we have to look at today is that I'm very privileged to be able to work with wildlife full time. It's a very busy role. The RSPCA deal with a lot of wildlife, and I think this year more than ever we've had to learn and really appreciate the wildlife on our doorsteps. We've all been in lockdown, we've had difficult times, we've had challenging times in perhaps a year that's been unprecedented, and it's really encouraged us to get out and enjoy the wildlife we've got. It's so good this morning to see so many people outdoors socially distancing, but I think it's that appreciation of what's around us that we need to understand and realise we're responsible for. We see the birds in our gardens, we feed them. We see the foxes, we see the badgers, but it's also the insects. You know, the butterflies, the moths, the beetles, the mini-beasts, if you like, that we see on a day-to-day basis that are all part of the life we have in our gardens. I've got hedgehogs visiting in my garden on a night. The wildlife camera picks them up. Don't often see them, but I know they're safe. And I think we have to realise that our gardens are wildlife mini nature reserves, and every one of them links to another, and that's really important. And I think perhaps being at home a little bit more this year has made us appreciate what's on our doorstep, appreciate what's there and what we can do about it. And on the back of that, the RSPCA is really concerned about the amount of litter that we're seeing in the countryside, in the areas where we go for walk. Every year the RSPCA deals with thousands of incidents where animals have got entangled up and sometimes died as a result of being caught in litter. I myself have dealt with hedgehogs that have got stuck in a can, head stuck in a can, thinking there's some food in. We get foxes that get the head stuck in a bottle. We get animals trapped, caught up in netting or line or other objects. We see drinking bottles discarded, plastic bottles that can be recycled, thrown away with the lid missing. A mouse, a vole, a shrew will crawl into that. What we have to realise is that can be the food of a barn owl or a kestrel. The birds, the iconic species we like seeing, they can die as a result of that. We see plastic bags recycled. We need to be tying a knot in them. That bag can become a balloon and blow away. We need to take responsibility to look after the wildlife that we're seeing. A lot of people are on the staycation this year, holiday in this country. And those want people to get out and enjoy the countryside, but we really need to think about the litter. We need to think about responsibility, and I think what this year has done has made us all realise how much we love our wildlife. It won't be there forever. We have to look after it for future generations and make sure that it is. We want it there forever. We want our wildlife conserving. We want to be able to continue to doing what we're doing this year, but we don't want to see litter in the countryside. We have to pick it up, every single piece of litter we are responsible for. For many years now I've done beach and coastal cleans. A lot of the litter that you find on the strand line on the beach is actually household litter that's blown there. Empty bags will just blow in the wind like balloons. Animals then become trapped in them. Some birds will get trapped in all sorts of discarded litter. At the moment we're seeing birds entangled in discarded face masks, which is quite worrying. I was sent a photograph recently of a peregrine falcon that had been flying out hunting and got entangled up in its legs in a disposable mask. These amount of litter can inhibit a bird from feeding properly, a mammal from feeding properly. We have to learn to be responsible, that every piece of litter we drop can affect wildlife. We see balloons. I've seen balloons discarded. I've seen balloons blown away. They will travel for miles. You can still have a social celebration when the COVID restrictions allow, but you need to think about your balloons and have them static and not release them into the environment. When you dispose them in the bin, you can cut them up. A lot of the things we do with litter can be really simple things we do. And it's the one thing we can all do to make a difference. Whoever we are, wherever we live, wherever we are in this country, we need to think about every piece of litter dropped, not that it's dropped, but actually what's it going to happen to it, what's it going to affect, what's it going to hurt, what's it going to injure, and what animal is probably going to die from it. So really my key message this year is really, really get out there, really enjoy the countryside, really enjoy nature, really enjoy exploring, but really appreciate and value what we've got, because what we've got is precious and we need to look after it. And the RSPCA Frontline Inspectorate, we are dealing with animals trapped in wildlife every single day. Let's reduce it, let's be sensible, and let's make a difference. And this is one thing that we can make a difference from starting tomorrow.
What you say, Jeff, is so true. There really is a valuable lesson for us to learn. So, Jeff, I can't wait to go and see some of these seabirds. Can we go for a walk? We've just come down the path and now we're on the grandstand. It's fantastic that I can come here on the wheelchair and have this fabulous view over the cliffs. Just describe to me where I am, please.
Yeah, here, Debbie, this morning we're at RSPB Bempton, which is a chalk cliffs that rise to about 400 feet. It's a unique stretch of coastline that these birds nest here for the summer month. It's a real busy time of year. The gannets are still here, the kittiwakes are here. You can hear the kittiwakes calling this morning. Still a busy time for them because the young birds are still on the cliffs. They'll leave when the young birds leave. The gannets are here much longer because they have a much longer breeding season. And it's a really iconic, very, very special piece of coastline to have so many thousands and thousands of birds here coming to breed every summer. Bempton's the only mainland gannetry in England where gannets actually nest here. The populations are increasing and doing very, very well. There's thousands of them nest here with this beautiful 6-foot wingspan, just flying through the air as we're watching them this morning. So we're very lucky on the East Yorkshire coastline to have this wonderful stretch of cliffs. And you'll see to the north how we're looking up toward Fylde and Scarborough, how the geology of the coast changes. To the south we look toward Flamborough, where the cliffs are probably about 300 foot high. But it's quite unique that this literally 4 or 5 mile stretch of coastline has these wonderful, beautiful, high, steep chalk cliffs, which are so important for all these birds. And that's another issue which I touched on earlier, which is why actually what happens at sea is important, the marine environment's important, because actually all these birds need food. They need to be able to get food, they need to go out there, not be able to get entangled and caught up in litter. So we've got to look after the cliffs, but as well the marine environment.
Can go right along the cliffs, can I?
Yeah, I think what's really interesting here is that particularly this year, I think a lot of us have realised that real need to get outside to be able to enjoy nature, to be enjoy wildlife and do the staycation, if you like, really appreciate what's on the doorstep. And the beauty of Bempton is that, as you can see yourself, you're actually sat this morning on the edge, literally on the edge.
Absolutely.
Of a 400 foot cliff, looking down into their world.
Yeah.
This is Seabird City. This is where you are today. You're in the city among the seabirds and you're looking at them very safely. And I think it's key that we have access for as many people as possible to get outside. And this is what the RSPB have done here, to encourage you to be able to get out here and get as close as you can, because you can't really get any closer.
The search, you know, looking along the cliff now, is that another viewing platform that I can see a bit further along? I can get to that platform, can I?
Yeah, to the north there is viewpoints to the north, yeah, which you can get, and also to the south as well. And to the south is where the main gannet colony is, where you can get even closer views because of the design of the cliffs. There's a chalk archway that comes out and the birds actually sit on the top of the chalk archway and you look down on it. But I've been coming here most of my life for my school days and I've never come here and not been amazed. No. These places are special. The RSPB look after it, but it's really good that they're letting you. And I think looking at you this morning, you're probably quite surprised how close you are.
Oh, yes.
And that's why I'm really keen for people to enjoy this walk, the countryside, and literally, you're in their world.
But there's so many people about as well. There's families, there's pushchairs, there's elderly folk, you're allowed to bring your dogs along the cliff tops here. So it's just fantastic seeing so many people outdoors and possibly a lot of new people taking a new interest, or people taking a new interest in wildlife.
Isn't it wonderful?
It's fantastic.
It really is wonderful that we can see all these people that have had, I think all of us have had a really difficult, challenging year with lots of thought to think about, but to get out and enjoy nature and perhaps leave today with that greater understanding, how we need to preserve it, how we need to look after it, how we need to be responsible, how we need to care when we go out. And so it's here for generations. And that's why it's real good to meet you here today and bring you this close, along with all these other people. But the birds are fine. You've come at their home.
Yes. Yeah, they've invited us in.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But there's also a lot, Jeff, about the fact that there's so many people now coming outdoors and experiencing the countryside. But there's so much negativity about how much rubbish is being left behind. Now, you touched on it earlier on, but how is it affecting the seabirds and the ocean life?
I think it's a real concern, because there's many aspects of looking at it, but quite pointedly, being at Bempton today, if we look at it, there will be pollution, litter pollution out in the sea, that these birds will get tangled up on the feeding, but also they're attracted to, if you like, coloured plastic to use as nesting materials. And if you've got time to look at the other gull to the organic viewpoint, which is at Staple New, just a little bit further south, you'll see that actually a lot of the nests have actually got this line in the nest, which they've used as nesting material, which would normally be seaweed and plant life. And on occasion, the RSPCA officers in my old specialist rope team have had to come here and have sailed down the cliff to rescue birds, because the young bird has been reared in the nest that's got plastic line and netting in that nest. As it's grown up, its feet have been entangled. And then, of course, when mum and dad have said, "We're going now, you're big enough to leave home," the bird can't leave home because it's entangled in the nest. So it's a real worry. And if you've got a chance, I'll show you that as well.
Fabulous.
You know what that is?
What was that?
That is the massively big bird, that. Massively big bird. If you watch in a minute, it'll jump out with a big bird with a voice like that. It's a wren.
It's a wren?
You know how tiny a wren is? I'm sure it is. Yeah. That little at the end, so then.
It's like shrill.
Yeah. The idea with these fields is that the conservation fields, so trap the insects, the bugs, so that you get the migrant birds coming in. I was here when we had an albatross. I missed it earlier on in the year, which is very rare. But I was here and there was a long-eared owl hunting this during the day, and I got some stunning photographs of a long-eared owl just by chance. The albatross flies over from Germany about once a year, and he came here twice. I missed him by an hour on the evening and a couple of hours the following day because I was working. But at one of the points, he'd rested on the cliff with the gannets, and he took up and he flew right across these viewpoints. The photographs from my friends are stunning, and I am well jealous.
Daft question.
There's never a daft question.
Come and go with the tide?
No.
They're just...
They will not, because these birds will be going miles and miles out to sea to feed. They will find the shoals of fish because they'll be looking for bigger fish like herring, mackerel, things like that. The kittiwakes are going for smaller fish like sand eels and things like that. So it's where the food is, yeah.
So we've come down on the cliffs. That path has been quite difficult. I've got down on my wheelchair. But it's been worth it to get to here. What's this viewpoint called again?
So I brought you here this morning, Debbie, to Staple Nuke, which is still part of the RSPB reserve here at Bempton. And actually what you're looking at is, you're looking at these beautiful chalk cliffs again, but you're actually looking at the top of an archway. And this is the chalk archway. Gannets traditionally like to nest on platforms, although here they nest right along the cliff. So if you look at colonies elsewhere of gannets, they would nest very close together in colonies like this. But what it does do is give you, again, as we were when we were at Grandstand, stunning views, you know, 350, 400 foot up a cliff, right on the cliff edge, but very safely looking at all these birds. It's a busy time of year. There's a lot of young birds in the nest. The young birds, when they're first born, it's a speckly dark brown, chocolate brown colour. All doing very well, relying on these gannets to go out to sea, find the fish and bring it back. What's unfortunate here is that you will see, looking at the nest, they return to traditional nest sites year on year, building those nests with seaweed and vegetation, but in quite a lot of them you will see this blues and the plastic signs of line and netting that's been used. They're attracted to these coloured articles that float on the water to build a nest, and that brings with it that risk of entanglement, both of the adults and of course the young birds as they're in the nest. But the good thing is, they're safe here, the colony's increasing, they're well looked after, they're very well monitored by the RSPB. And it's just great to see. It's a real pleasure to get out and be able to come down along the clifftop pass to these very safe lookouts and just look down into their world, into this fantastically busy environment of all these gannets living together, that the cliffs here are looked after. We need to look after the marine environment. We need to keep echoing this message of keeping it litter free and really look after these for generations to come. I'll tell you a story now because I'm boring. In 1969, right, I started secondary school.
Yeah.
There was 21 pairs here. Mid-70s, I did the I did my project here on the Kittiwakes for my A-level biology. So I was coming up every night after school on my bike. And the warden here was Steve Madge, who sadly just died. And we were saying then that there was these 21 pairs were right at the top end of the reserve site. And isn't it marvellous we've got gannets back at Bempton? And we used to say, but they won't go far because they like to nest on rocks. They like to nest like this on plateaus. The cliffs are too steep. And if you'd have said then that there'd be like nearly 14,000 pairs, which was this year, we'd never believed you. Never, ever have believed you. And that's why Bempton's so passionate. You know, I've seen this colony grow year on year on year, and it's actually expanding bigger than the number of birds that are bred here. So there must be overflow from other gannet colonies following these gannets to come and make a home at Bempton. It's amazing. It's one of those successes that you would never, ever believe. Well, I do so much for the RSPCA on litter. I mean, I volunteer here because I'm just passionate about Bempton, but I do so much for the RS on wildlife because you've got to talk to people, and people have got to. If you understand that something's wrong, then you change it. If you don't understand it's wrong, you don't change it. Yeah, you can campaign about it. You can sign petitions. You can do what you want. But are you making a difference? Because my other little mantra in life is make it happen. You can go to meetings and meetings and meetings for every day. But I'm a fan of making it happen. So when Ollie sent me the email for this, this was never going to be a no in my head, because there's absolutely no reason why I would say no. Why would I ever say no to doing something like this? So you say yes because you can make it happen. Do you know what I mean? So when you're throwing litter away, don't. Make it happen and create a change.
Jeff, I've absolutely loved my visit to Bempton Cliffs. There's so much to see, and it really, really is a family day out, made even better for me by such good wheelchair access. Thank you, Jeff, and thank you for your company.